Oh, that was really gorgeous. No, I have not heard that before that I remember anyhow. Where is that from? Oh, okay. And they're hollering in the middle there, something that is going to complement this, I'm sure. What are you saying, Beck? From the Lutheran hymnal. Kathy told me that she's been saving it for the week of Thanksgiving. It was beautiful. Thank you. You have such a gorgeous voice. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm so happy you're here to hear a song from the Lutheran hymnal. That's just so fun. That just shakes me up in all kinds of ways. I want a hair toss and check my nails. Oh, so, you know, I am the senior minister here and the spiritual leader of this community, and we are wrapping up today. It is the grand finale. This is where I wish we had a whole orchestra. I loved it at the concert when we said drum roll, and we had a real drum roll. That was so fun. That was so fun. We are having a drum roll because we are right here closing out the month of November. We'll be stepping into Christmas next week. We're going to really get in the mood and start wearing our red and our pretty little sweaters and things. The weather's accommodating. But today I have something really meaningful to share with you, and it seems that it has been a gorgeous month. From my perspective, it has been a gorgeous month of preparing messages each week to fit in with our theme, In the Flow of Life, for our stewardship campaign, our Seeding Our Future campaign. Committee, the board, did a fabulous job in pulling these ideas together, and I'm really happy with it's been a little bit different this year, and I like how it's felt and how it's been delivered. And so I'm talking today, I have been leading up to this, you will notice I have said it every week in some way or another, to this final concluding message entitled, Meet Me at the Well. And your very presence here this morning is a way that you show up and you meet me at this well of life. And I want to talk about that in a different sort of way. And we're going to have a great experience. And we're going to feel like we really are wrapping up something important. But then we're going to go in the next room and we're going to celebrate the family meeting together. And the reason I did a shout out there that it's not the annual, it is a family, because it's different than the annual business meeting, which happens in February here in our community. That is just for members. This meeting is for everybody. If you consider yourself to be engaged in this community at any level, you are invited to come sit in that meeting. And this is a time of year where we really open our hearts to receive your feedback, your input. And so I have created an environment in our social hall to give you lots of ways to share your ideas and your desires and your gratitude and in anything you'd like to share. And we will also have the Board of Trustees sitting there, and you can ask us questions, and we will entertain whatever you throw at us. We'll come up with something as an answer. We'll have a response. How's about that? So meet me at the well. We've been talking all month about this gorgeous idea that comes out of the way that from the beginning of humanity organizing in colonies of people, we have needed to have a well at the center of the village. And so in order to establish my own grounding in this idea, I, like I always do, looked for the perfect quote. This quote does come from the founder of this teaching, Dr. Ernest Holmes, and these are his words that I used this week to just contemplate all week and tie the material in with. He said, "We must resolutely determine to see and to accept spiritual substance. We must resolutely determine to see and accept spiritual substance and to see that it is forever flowing to us as the supply of all our needs." That's a really important quotation telling us that we must see it We must stand in a place ourselves in a position to see the good that is there, to recognize there is a way that life is always flowing and moving, and that the grace of God, the givingness of Spirit itself, is always streaming into our lives. And so I mentioned this last week, and I want to reiterate it this morning, and that is that everything that has been said this month, from at least from in the Sunday message, everything we have spoken to in terms of this idea of the flow of life and meeting together at the well, this wellspring of life where all good comes from, everything that has been spoken this month, that has been expressed, that has been embodied in consciousness or even pondered and played with the temptation of embodying it in consciousness, everything that has been explained and read and spoken about is offered to you as this great explanation of how this teaching works in the flow of life. And so I'm going to put the, I'm not putting a period at the end of it today, I'm going to put an exclamation point, you know, because it's a powerful, you know, I want it to set with you in such a way that you realize these are key ideas in all the teachings of New Thought. And really at the source of all spiritual teaching, if we could be really open-minded and look at it in that way. So we come to the well because there's life-giving information at the well. In ancient days, they went to the well because they wouldn't survive if they didn't go to get water. Some places, there are still villages where people have to go to the well every day to get their water. And when we look at the way we come to the well and the way that we come to this, this building and we sit in this sanctuary or we study in a class, what I see is that this month, as I reviewed in my mind, just the things that we have shared this month in the confines of this well of spiritual substance, we have shared meals, we have shared conversations, we have put on our party clothes, and we have danced together, we have read books together, we have studied, we have pondered, we have planted dreams for this building to be spruced up on the exterior so that it can represent the substance that's in here already. And yesterday we said goodbye to a really dear friend. The flowers are here because we had the memorial service for beautiful Elaine Gage. So we have come here to have this celebration of life ceremony. And we have come here every week as part of our pledging program, our pledging meaning your commitment or your intention for planned giving so that your board of trustees can be good stewards for this upcoming year. So look at all the reasons we come to the well and look at everything that happens when we do that. Now, in the same way that we do that, our ancestors would travel to the well. And the well was then a communal place, but the well was, in the same way that I just described all those activities that have taken place in this building in this past month, in just a few weeks, in that same way, the people that lived in a village would go to that well for tribal activities, for spiritual rituals, and certainly to gather the life-giving flow of water that we need in our lives to survive, to exist. If the well dried up, the village would move. Now, not the village, but the people would relocate. They would find where the water's flowing, and they would begin to create a whole new way of life around that center where they have found that the water is flowing. But here's the thing, and this is the point of what I'm speaking to today, that the more you go to the well to take what you need, the more you are priming the pumps, so to speak, are contributing to the actual flow and the increase of more. So the way that we repeatedly come to a source creates an ongoing flow, and it keeps things circulating. And that is the true definition. It really speaks well to the way we teach the law of circulation, and it is exactly the same system of circulation that our body depends upon. So there's a give and a take. There's giving and there's receiving, and you can never just be on one side of it. We want to always be partaking in it. And in the meanwhile, we see that the whole village comes to life, that we provide a space for all of those activities to unfold in that same sense of the way we're understanding these life-sustaining waters. The other thing that crossed my mind in the writing of this material is that, you know, everybody had to go to the well. Everybody had to, in the old ancestors, the ancient days, everybody had to go to the well. So it didn't matter if you were a fool or a scholar. It didn't matter if you were rich or poor. It didn't matter if you were the thief or the shaman. Everybody needs to be sourced from what comes from that precious place of the well. So it doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter what your story is. It doesn't matter what experiences we encounter in our daily life. Each and every one of us fills up from the very same source. Think about that. Think about that. I mean, if I stand back and really just kind of see what that feels like when I contemplate that idea, different cultures don't seem so different anymore, right? Different ways of life don't seem so different. So we're individuals, and we like to talk a lot about how we are uniquely individualized expressions of the divine. And even in our individuality, wherein we see that we relate to life in very different ways, everybody in the village goes to the same well, and we each bring our own container. Right? If you're going to take some of that water back to your home for your personal use, you've got to have your own container. And so what we do then in terms of being spiritually fed at the well is that our container is our consciousness. It's our ability to understand spiritual principles and then to use, to apply those spiritual laws. Just as there are natural physical laws in the universe, there are spiritual laws in the spiritual universe. And as we become more attuned to these ways in which life works, we change the shape of our container. And so some days I can take home a lot and other days I can't. But I'm constantly committed to recommitting to that daily journey to the well, to be fed, to be nourished in a way that I need to be nourished. So I had this dream last week, a few days ago. And sometimes when I have something that I feel is really important to say, I give it to God in such a way that I pray on it, I meditate it, but then I release it and I expect that information will come into my life. You do the same thing. I just do it very specifically and when I have an important message. So I had this dream. And by the way, I always know when the message comes in a dream, I always know it's like I wake up and I go, "Ooh, write that down. That's important. You know, those are divine words. You need to." And it often comes, especially if I'm trying to write, it'll come in an opening sentence. I've had remarkable experiences where this is true. So this week I woke up and it wasn't like time to wake up. It was one of those middle of the night dreams. And I woke up and I went, "Oh, quick, write this down. These are the words I need to use." And the words were, I have to be still to remember. It's even though it's a two-car garage, only one car fits in. Are you curious where I'm going with this? So there's more to the dream. I'll tell you in a minute. But even though it's a two-car garage, only one car fits in. Do some of you relate to that? I mean, really, garages for cars? Whoa, who knew? But I keep my car in the garage. Hugh's car stays on the driveway, his truck. But his motorcycles are in the garage, too, taking space. And so I keep my car in the garage. And you know what happens? Now, I'm going to be honest here. When I'm looking to car shop, I look for the color car that will most not show how dirty it gets. I do, I promise, I really do. I always do that. It's the only way it would work in my life. It would make me crazy otherwise. So I don't wash my car very often. And I shouldn't have told you that, I guess. Huh? Okay. But it always looks good, right? Because I keep it in the garage. No, it was really needing to be washed. It was really getting grubby. And I just said to Cheryl, like, I'm just going to have to wash the car. If that rain doesn't come and give a good rain, you know, and clear up my car, I'm going to have to get it washed. And so what happened, I had that conversation with her, and then I had this dream that woke me up at night. And it said, it's a two-car garage, but as long as you keep that car in there, it's never going to be washed clean by the rain. And so it occurred to me, so this is still part of the dream, but it occurred to me in the dream that when I drive my car here to my job, imagine that. I used to say to my dad when my dad lived with me, well, I'm off going to work. And he'd go, oh, it just hurts when you call church work. He must have had some bad ideas about what that meant to him when he said it. But for me, there's great joy in it. So when I drive my car and I park it in that gorgeous little space that you hold for me, it's a great privilege, right? Now, I didn't earn that privilege because I, you know, took the right classes in seminary or passed all the exams. And, you know, I think that you earn the privilege in consciousness. I think that's what we teach, right? If you think it, you change your life, and then good things come to you. So I would be your minister even if I didn't have a parking space, but I do really like it. And the other little secret is, don't park in it when I'm not here. If I should come and you're parked in it, it turns out I also have an attitude. I have a little ownership over that space. It's happened a couple times, and I'm always stunned at the kind of ministerial thoughts that go through my mind. But anyhow, I in the dream, the message was, it is a privilege that represents your commitment. It is a privilege to park there so that you are close to the street, and when people go by, it's an invitation. Yeah, somebody's home. It's an invitation that says, welcome, come in, meet me at the well. And then when I played with that and I got up and I'm trying to write down that first sentence and remember the dream, because I realize it's something that needs to be in the talk, that's the only time my car's in the rain. See, my car doesn't get the benefit of that cleansing downpour unless it's parked right here at church. Now feel that. There's something cleansing that happens here for us all the time, right? This is this big, luscious well where we come together to remember spiritual truths, where we come to get washed clean. It's a place where we come to, for me, I'm doing the business of life that I have been called to do. But it is also a place where we commune. It is also a place where we worship. It is also a place where we learn and we celebrate and we question. And that's all so important because it's such a big part of who and what we are. You know, when you walk through those glass doors out there that we all enter in the morning. Well, some of you come in the kitchen, you know, some of you are friendly, you know, you've got permission to come in the back door. But we come in those front doors, we walk through those glass doors, and then there's this portal. And you know, it's so strange for me, but I cannot see it in my mind the way it really looks. I always see it in my mind arched. I always see that entryway that takes you from the foyer into this inviting. You can just feel it. Look, there's a sofa, a sitting area. You just want to come in and sit there. You want somebody to bring you coffee and then or tea, and then you want to gab. You want to talk. You want to share. You want to feel that connection because you're here now. But the most beautiful, and then there's all those great books in the bookstore. Oh, I like all those books in the bookstore. That's really inviting. And then there's the double doors that invite you into the sanctuary. But what you may not notice every time you come here, you may have noticed it once when you were new, but then you start not noticing things. Isn't that funny how life is like that? Above that portal are the words of Ernest Holmes. And it says, the short version of it is, enter, stranger, come in. All are welcome here. All are welcome here. And that's such a beautiful quotation that really represents the way that we continue to seek to honor all paths to God. So that what makes my heart happy is that every Sunday I know there is someone sitting in this room that also went to Mass, or also went to temple, or also worships in a way that I don't even know they worship. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? I think that's wonderful, because we don't sit here believing we have the only true religion. We know that you can come here and you can be fed, you can meet us at the well, and you can take whatever size container you bring with you. You can fill up if your heart desires to do that, but we welcome you. See, that quotation came from the last book that Ernest Holmes wrote before he passed. It's a book, not many people even know about it. It's an epic poem. The entire book is like Shakespearean poem. And he wrote it with his brother Fenwick, and it's called The Voice Celestial. Gorgeous book. And that quotation is taken from the sort of the preface or a dedication in the front of the book. So we come as we are. We come as the container that has stretched us in such a way, I didn't mark it, but I remember where. We are just who we are in any given day. And we often say, as Ernest Holmes says, there are so many different ways. I was looking for the perfect passage to read to you this morning. But there are so many ways that he says, the law corresponds exactly to you in order of the way in which you think, it shall be done unto you, Jesus said, yes. And Holmes says, so the law corresponds exactly to that. So what do you think? What do you think is possible? Well, as you believe, so it is done unto you and all of that. So I found this quote in my book that's, maybe it'd be just easier to hold this part. Oh, Holmes says, so here's another way he words it that I just think is so rich and gorgeous. We will constantly expand and increase in knowledge and in understanding, thereby continuously growing in our ability to make use of the law. But you can only take in as much as you can hold. You are the container. And you are shaping the container every time you take in a little more information. Every time you move through an experience in your life and you stop like Fred did and said, why did that happen? You are opening your mind to take in more information, to see in a different light, and to understand how the law, how spiritual law is working in your own life. You are the container, and you can only have as much as you can hold. And so we come to meet at the well to take in the life-giving water so that we can stretch the shape of our soul, that we can meet each other in a new way, so that we can understand the importance of returning to the source again and again, and that maybe we can bring a larger container the next time we come so we can take in more good. So Butterworth has a great, sometimes this guy shakes me up and he makes me stop and think. So Butterworth is talking about the same idea of growing and understanding this flow of life and the shape of the container and how the container works. And so in this book, in the chapter I'm using this week, he talks about, he says it's a bit of a riddle. So I want you to hear it like that. It's like it's a riddle why is that hard for me to say? It's a riddle. It's something for us to contemplate, right? The answer may seem obvious. If it seems too easy, you're not thinking deep enough. Okay, so here it goes. So remember last week, I said if you can have a cup, but if it's upside down, the water just flows right over the outside of it. So now you take your cup to the faucet for water. Let's say you want a drink of water. You walk into your kitchen and you're going to put your cup under the faucet and fill it up with water. You turn on the faucet, and when you turn the handle on the faucet at your sink, it opens something in the apparatus that allows the water to flow forth and to fill up the cup. You put your cup under the flowing water and it fills up your cup. Now, here comes the riddle. Has the faucet given to the cup? Or has the faucet been involved in receiving from the source? The cup, what if the cup is just cooperating in the process? Oh, now we have something brand new to think about here. Is the cup simply receiving water, or, and here's the takeaway, or is the cup actually giving, putting your cup under to receive, right? Or is it actually giving by being receptive to a process wherein the faucet will be able to receive more? You turn it on, now more and more and more can flow through the faucet. Whoa. Now, what are you going to do with that? You're going to look for it on page 101. If you don't own the book, you're probably going to go buy it because this is a damn good book. And on page 101, you're going to read this and you're going to reread it and you're going to reread it and you're going to think about the message today is what kind of a container do I bring in myself when I come to the well to be filled up? Some days, you know this is true. You walk through that first set of doors out there. You walk in, and before you ever hear a word, maybe you haven't even been greeted by a person yet, you walk in that door, and bam, it just hits you, and you just know you were meant to be here today. And already you're feeling filled up, right? Just in the intention of walking through the door, stepping into the building, readying yourself for what's about to take place. And then there are other days. There are other days where you come and maybe you feel a little needy. You know, and you come and maybe you don't even want to be hugged by anybody, but you come in and you don't get that bam, and you don't hear anything that seems to like just resonate with you or for you or excite you. But it's just because we come with a different size cup, right? Life impacts us, and we ebb and we flow like every other part of nature. We're moving and we're changing, and we're always, you know, doing it in our own unique way. So here's what I want to say. When you show up here, you are coming to reveal your gifts. There's giving and there's receiving, right? So when you come, whether you share them or not, you bring your gifts, but you bring your quirks also, right? I bring my gifts and I bring my quirks. You would really have laughed if you had heard the song I was singing up here before anybody got here with the Bradfords. I even had her sons look it up on the video so I could sing it to music because it's something that really excites me right now. It's that good, right? Maybe next time I wear those pants, maybe we could pull that off again, because those pants make me really, I'm telling you, I could do it, right? Okay, he was even trying to strum along, I think, while I was singing it. All right, so we got quirks and we got gifts, and we come, and when we meet together at the well, we commune and we mix together our quirks and our gifts, and then everything we gather in that environment is a gorgeous mix of possibilities of what we're going to do with it next. Isn't that an interesting way to look at all of that? Everything about church is giving and receiving. Everything is about tapping into that divine truth. You know, we're here to discover that the act of giving and receiving is indeed a way we commune with each other. It is a way we commune with life and what is. It is a way we commune with our future. And it is a way we make sense of our past. And it is us. It is really just us. Virginia Woolf, my goodness, I love Virginia Woolf. It has this great quote. You know, interestingly, when Virginia Woolf wrote, it was always about people gathering together, but she often wrote, there's always a party in any of the books that she's written. There's always these big gatherings or a important big gathering. And Virginia Woolf said this, "When we gather, we create an environment where our thought can linger and love can play." I wish I would think of putting words together like that. That's so beautiful. So we meet in community. That's how we meet in community, where our thoughts can linger and our love can play. Oh, what a beautiful thought. And I would say that the final thing I want to say as I'm wrapping it up this morning is that that's how life is. If we looked outside the realm of humanity and we just studied nature, if we looked to study the way nature shows up in the natural world, we would see that there's this great combining of life, you know, that there are ecosystems. It's really fun to study ecosystems. But what you see is there's a pulse. There's a pulse in the universe. There are forces of attraction from different forms of life, and everything comes together to form a whole. W-H-O-L-E, whole, complete. Things in nature come together to form these little ecosystems, and ecosystems have little ecosystems around them, and the same is true of us in humanity. We gather in places and churches, and we gather in community centers and at theaters and at stadiums, and we gather at concert halls, and sometimes we gather in sanctuaries, but always we are gathering at the well. Do you get that? All of it is the flow of life. So there are unlimited ways that we meet at the well. The history of humanity on this planet, listen carefully, I think there's something very important here. The history of humanity, of human life on this planet, reveals to us, if you study this well, you will see there are patterns of organization, of disorganization, and then reorganization. We are living right now in a profound pattern of change, and I'm not sure why we're surprised. Because in the history of humanity and the history of all of nature in the universe, in the history of humanity, there has always been organization, disorganization, and reorganization. Can we trust this process of life that is perfectly natural? I believe we can, and I believe that's why you're here. And so what I suggest is that we just keep meeting at this well. You know, we just keep showing up. We just keep emptying the container before we walk through those doors so that we don't come in here knowing it all. We certainly all know something. But what if we emptied ourselves and were ready to be filled up again? Filled up with the love and the quirks and the conversations and the communion we have with each other, with the service, with the sharing, with the celebrations of life, and the family meeting that follows after this service. It's a beautiful invitation. It's a beautiful invitation. And never forget, when you see my car, it is an invitation to meet me at the well. All right. So on that note, let's have some prayer. let's surround the room. I'd love to have all the practitioners and the ministers and the ministerial intern. If you just stand and surround this room and bring your consciousness, because I know you are ready to just let your consciousness be a part of that great flow of life. So we breathe. Just breathe. Deep cleansing breaths. Inhale and exhale. And ready for the next breath. We move in this pattern of life because we live and move and have our being in spirit itself. So we just recognize that right here is God. That right here is this movement of life, the infinite intelligence of all the universe. And we allow ourselves to feel that love of God within us. Feel that movement and activity of spirit. How good it is to know that there is this indwelling presence. There is this infinite wisdom that is a part of who we are. That we carry it with us at all times. And it doesn't matter if we remember or not, because it's even in the core of every molecule of our being. Every cell of our body is magnificent in its ability to heal and to whole itself, to recreate holy newness in our experience of living. So whatever seems to ail us is touched by the very words of this prayer. There is an inner quickening, a movement of life, because we know that the activity of the spoken word itself is powerful. It calls on that inner divine light. It creates that gorgeous glow. It reminds us that indeed we are moving in the flow of life even now. So we inhale and we exhale and we empty ourselves so that we can be containers ready to be filled with this divine goodness. So I remember again that there is this activity of life, the way in which the grace of God is always is giving and giving and flowing and moving. And we allow ourselves to be that container. We reach to tap the faucet, to turn on the flow, so that we are a part of receiving and filling up the life-giving substance that we require to make it through this day. But in the way that we tap that flow, we create an increase. That there is a greater flow. That there is a movement of life that desires to be experienced through us and as us. And so this day I say yes to God. Say yes with me, yes to God. We say yes. We are willing to receive the good that is our due because we are divinely created in the image and the likeness of spirit itself. Therefore, we have the same creative powers. We have that ability to recognize there is something beyond the appearances. There is health beyond the illness. There is abundance beyond any sense of limitation or lack. There is good no matter what we see going on in the world. There too is God. And so we just open ourselves to be a part of that flow, to know that our willingness to tap that faucet is what removes any obstruction. It keeps things moving divinely, allowing us to express, to give, to receive, and to know that we have permission to show up in life with all of our quirks, because our quirks are our beauty. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, life, for we are so renewed this day as we bring to a close this month of seeding our future. I am so grateful for this privilege to stand in this truth, knowing that indeed each and every one of us is a part of this great flow of life. We do good work in the world and it returns to us multiplied abundantly. And so in this deep, deep spirit of gratitude, feeling this immense essence of thankfulness, I simply release the words of this prayer into the law that always says, yes, my child, yes. We let it be, and together we say, and so it is.